I always end up here first because of my gracious brother who just, he's senior and he insists that I go first. I try to insist on him, but he is so gracious and so kind. So I'm up here again first. Let me turn again to Psalm 23, if you would, please. Psalm 23, and we want to consider tonight a little bit in this direct aspect. Psalm 23. Before we read that, I have been asked, I almost forgot, Brother Al will be giving me a word here. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I have been asked to read this and mention this to you, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. He asked me to read 23, but I think I'll take the liberty and read down to 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, or a person, and so let him eat of that bread, and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Brother Allen asked me to read that, because tomorrow morning, Lord willing, if he hasn't come to take us home to be with himself, we will gather again to remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, as he just read. So all dear folks that remember the Lord back in your home place, are welcome to do so with us tomorrow morning. We'd love to have you. So remember the Lord Jesus Christ and give him the central place. And perhaps tonight we can maybe mention a few things about that if time permits. We hope it will. And by the way, right now I better take this thing off and get it in front of me. Okay. All right, let's read in Psalm 23, please, if you will. Psalm 23. While you're looking for that, we would say, as we read, let each one examine themselves, because when we come together as a group, a congregation, into the presence of Holy God to remember him in his death until he comes, we are in the presence of Holy God. And because he's righteous and holy, we need to examine ourselves. And the Word of God says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a very holy place to be, in the presence of Holy God, remembering Holy God in his death on our behalf. And that's what he comes for. But you know, it says, until he comes. So, beloved, we have that promise. He's coming again. And who knows? Tomorrow might be the last time. Maybe we won't get that time. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go from here to heaven? Heaven on earth to heaven in heaven. That would be wonderful. And I have really enjoyed the fellowship. It's just been tremendous. I have really enjoyed it. And I know Brother Wilson has, because we were talking about it. We've both just had a delightful time, and it's just been so nice to meet you, dear Christians, from all over the country. And it's just to have fellowship and climb the hills and throw horseshoes at one another and all those kind of good things, and just have a good time. And we can do that as believers can. We can have a better time than anybody else. And it's just been great. And we thank those that have been gracious and kind enough to provide the facilities and provide the meals and provide everything that's needed so graciously and watch for every need. And they have done an excellent job, and we need to pray for them and thank God for them. All right, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have any need. He maketh me to lie down. Notice it says need, not want. He maketh me to lie down in pastures of tender grass. He guideth me beside the waters of stillness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Moreover, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod of correction and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine adversaries. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Only goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or for the length of days. All right, tonight we want to consider a few specifics concerning the psalm before us. And a good way to read this psalm is by asking the question, what shall I want? What shall I want? And as we go through it, and we look at it, and we ask ourselves that question, it'll amaze us. What shall we have need of? Well, we want rest, don't we? For he makes me to lie down in green pasture. Now, I am not a sheep herder, but I've done some reading and checking. And those that raise sheep, professional sheepmen, tell us that sheep, first of all, lie down and they are called breast wires. They put their legs under them and they lay down with their legs under them. And you know, a horse sticks them out in front of them. But a sheep holds them underneath themselves and their breast is what lies on the ground. Now, sheep will not lie down to eat. To rest, I mean, until they have eaten. They don't lie down to eat. They eat before they eat. And so the psalmist, through the Spirit of God, says, for he makes me to lie down in green pasture. Or pastures, more appropriately, pastures of tender grass. The shepherd provides tender, fresh, nourishing food. So that the sheep can eat that grass that has been prepared. The Lord Jesus, as our shepherd, does not just take us along and let us helter-skelter get the food we need. Everything we need, every want we have is met in the Word of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's already provided. There is no need that we can have that is not met in Him. It's there. And it's tender. It's succulent. It's full of vitamins, if you will. Just what the sheep need. They cannot eat grass that has poison weeds in it. They cannot eat grass that has weeds that are unproductive because it causes gas in their intestinal system. And they cannot regurgitate their food properly. And if they lay down in grass that is sparse, they're uncomfortable. If they lay down in a place that is shallow and got holes in it, they're uncomfortable. They don't rest. And they will not properly regurgitate their food from their first stomach and eat it properly. Therefore, they will not grow properly. But most of all, they won't rest. They'll be restless. And I think we need to realize, especially with us so many older ones here, that if we are to shepherd God's people, if we are to care for God's people, we must provide them. As our brother was saying this morning, those of us that, whether we minister from the platform or we minister in the prayer meeting, we must minister food that is food, proper in the diet. We need to give the sheep peace and rest. Away from fear and danger. And so he makes them to lie down in these green, prepared, level pastures. A sheep can lay down in a hole and get tipped over. And they may look perfectly content and perfectly comfortable, but when they get tipped over a little bit, they cannot help themselves up. Especially if they're a productive sheep with a heavy coat of wool. And when a sheep has that happen, they tell us that the sheep will die. How many times, dear brethren and sisters, have we seen sheep? We have brought before us today from Isaiah, my brother beat me to it, that they were the ones that young must be taken care of. And how we need to take care of young believers. We all need to have a concern for the young babe in Christ, that they don't get into the feed that is not proper for them. And even when the feed is there, to make sure that they're brought to that feed, and to make sure that they participate. But before we can do that, we ourselves must have taken that food in. We must be at rest ourselves. We must know the peace of God. Because the lesson that comes across above everything else to the young believer is what they see in us. It's amazing the simplest thing that speaks to younger believers. I think of one, and please forgive me for using myself as an illustration. I can use myself and something goes wrong and you can laugh at me. The night before I went to have surgery, I had surgery on Wednesday morning. Our Bible study is on Tuesday night in our prayer meeting. And for me, it was just natural to be there on Tuesday night. I mean, what else do you do on Tuesday night if it's prayer meeting and Bible study? You go to prayer meeting and Bible study, prepared. So I went. And you know what? I had at least a dozen of the young men and young women, adults, married, in their 30s, late 20s, come to the hospital to see me. And I was amazed. You know what they said? I can't believe that you came up for prayer meeting and Bible study when you were going into surgery the next day. And I said to them, well, where else do you go when you got something like that hidden up on, in front of you? Well, you go and you ask the Lord's people to pray to the Lord and it'll glorify himself. Where else are you going to go? But to the throne of grace. And when the saints of God are gathered together around the throne of grace, well, what other place would you be but at that place? It's normal, isn't it, for a believer to be there? But you know, it spoke so much to them that one of the elders came down, he said, to the house, I was away the next Lord's day, not preaching, I couldn't preach for a month and a half. But he said, Bob, and she did that, he said, the prayer meeting attendance has tripled. And they all say the same thing. When an old brother, and I told you I'm one of the old brothers, you know. When an old brother can come out to meet him when he's going into surgery the next day, then what's wrong with the rest of us? And you know, it did wonder. You see, the sheep follow after the under shepherd. And oh, beloved, whether we're a shepherdess or a shepherd, we need, by the grace of God, to set an example. First to our children. Boy, they watch it. You know, we're so foolish as older folks who think the young people don't catch things. They read us like a book in large print. Believe me, they do. And the young believers in the body of Christ, they read us like we're under a magnifying glass. What kind of a pattern are we laying down? Are we feeding on the tender grass? Are we resting in the tender grass that the shepherd, the chief shepherd has prepared, the good shepherd? Oh, he gives us rest. And every single one of us by this time of our age that know the Lord Jesus Christ have come to know that peace and that rest that is alone found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter if you are a businessman that has a six-figure salary, almost a seven-figure salary. And maybe some of you said that, I don't know. But it can't give you the peace. The peace of God gives you, can it? All it gives you a lot of headaches. We're trying to keep it together and maintain it. There is only one place that we can have rest. And that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not only for our problems. It's for our growth. It's for our grace. So you might go in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the psalmist says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me to those green pastures. And he quiets me down. He gives me that rest. I don't have to worry about the enemy around. Brother Wilson is telling me of some of the dangers over there in Africa with lions. Old lions. Because they can't go after the game anymore. So what do? they go after you. But they're not the chaser. They just set the lion away. And who is the old lion that lies in wait for you and I to lie? He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And who does he want more than an older Christian that has a temper? Oh, if he can make us fall, he's out to do it. And he will do it. Unless we're resting in a green patch. And the sheep lie down on that green grass, and it cushions them. And they can rest at ease. Why? There's a shepherd there. He needeth me. He makes me to lie down in green patch. You see, the sheep can lie down in perfect rest and peace and knowledge of safety because the shepherd's there. And then he needeth me beside the still water. The waters of stillness. Now, we're told that in Palestine the rivers are almost all poisoned even to this day. So it wasn't a matter of the shepherd finding a stream and finding a place that was smooth and quiet in the water. That wasn't sufficient. Why do you suppose that Jacob dug wells? The word here in the original, as I understand it, is pools of quietness. The wells were dug, and the fresh, cool water came in. But the shepherd had to dig the well. Hard work. The shepherd had to take care of that well. And the shepherd then had to bring the water up out of the well to feed the sheep. You see, beloved, if we're to enjoy the refreshing waters of the Word of God, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by the washing of the water of the Word. And we could go on and on and on with verses of Scripture referring to the Word of God as the water. In the New and the Old Testament. But if we're to enjoy those quiet waters, it's not going to be by letting the Word of God lie on a shelf. It's going to be by digging well. It's going to take labor. And dear sister, if you're going to be that grandmother that can influence those grandchildren, and the older sisters are to teach the younger sisters, if you're going to fall into that category and meet that responsibility before God as He gives it to you in the local body of believers, then you're going to have to dig. It's hard work. You need tools to do that. You need a good concordance. You need a good dictionary, Bible dictionary. You need a good English dictionary. And you need some good reliable commentary, at least. And various books for research if you want to go into it. But you see, it's not just for the preacher. Spoon fed will only help and never replace what you can glean through the Spirit of God from the Word of God as you search the Scriptures. And so he brings them to drink. Brings them to rest and he brings them to drink. In the pools. All prepared, all ready, cool, refreshing, non-poisonous. Oh, be careful what you read and what you feed on. Dearly beloved brothers and sisters, there is so much in the world today that is absolute sin. But the world portrays it as sugar and spice and everything nice. And sin is sweet to the taste, but deadly. And if the sheep may drink that water that looks so nice, and it's quiet, and it's flowing, and it looks clear, but it's poisonous. We need to drink from the pool of life that the Lord Himself has prepared. The Word of God. Don't go back to your room and say, well, that was a nice message, and just buy it and receive it. Do what the believers did in Berea. Here is the great apostle Paul. He ministered the word of God. And what happened? It says the Bereans, they went back and they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. They were searching the Old Testament to see if this Paul spoke the truth. The great apostle. Chosen of God. Beloved, search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Never mind what that man on the platform said. Truth in itself. Pay attention to it. Search it. Compare it against the scriptures. And you'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. We have men in our pulpit across the land today that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. Way back in the service in the chaplain's corps in 1946, 45, out of 24 chaplains in our regiment, I would say 3 of them knew the Lord Jesus Christ in their personal day. The rest of them were a bunch of social gospel preachers telling the guys, do the best you can and behave yourself and be careful. And maybe when you get to heaven, the balance will be all right. I used to have this with a record of mine. Friends in the chapel. And going to eternity. And it's going right on today, beloved. We have men writing books. The chap that has a glass cathedral in California. Propagating humanism like it's nobody's business. And people are believing it and going to hell. Because they do not check the word of God to see if these things are so. Oh, my dear friend, I don't know where you go. But whatever your preacher says, get in the book and see if what he's teaching is according to what God is teaching. According to the word of God. Drink deep of the wells and the pools of quietness and refreshment. The word of God. And you'll be satisfied. And you'll grow. Then he says, we have forgiveness, for he restored my soul. Isn't that wonderful? He restored my soul. Have you ever been down? Have you ever been down? You know, Christians can get down. Maybe you don't think you can get down, and you look at people and you say, how can they be so down mentally? Do Christians get down mentally? Well, you sure do. I'll tell you one Christian that got down mentally one time so far that he tried to commit suicide indirectly. And you're looking at it. In the middle of 1945, we came to the Elbe River. And the engineers didn't get up there, and I hope there's no engineers here, that's engineers. Forgive me. The engineers didn't get up there. They didn't have a Bailey Bridge across the river. The river had all been blown out. The only time I saw George Patton, General George Patton, came up. And of course, he outranked our 1 star by a long shot, and he said, get across the river. And we took ropes, they called for those of us that could swim, and we swam across that river, and it flowed like about 30 miles an hour, and the right spot, floating in the river. And we crossed the river, and we crossed the river, and we pulled heavy lines across, and the rest hung on the line going across. But you know, during the night, I got so cold, and some things that happened in my life. I had a Christian girl that I was to marry, and I got a Dear John with her. And boy, that hurt. It hurt me just 2 days before that. And I was going across, and my hand slipped off the rope. And I said, no. And I just dropped everything I was carrying, because I had sunk. And I went down the river, all the way down to a huge power plant. And I could hear the water going through the turbine. And the water was ice cold. And I passed them. They had these big cables stretched across for the barges that used to come down the river so they wouldn't hit the dam. And I could have reached up and grabbed it when I went. Can you believe that, beloved? A believer who has seen God's grace time and time again in physical salvation. And I passed under those cables twice. Because I was so down. Not righteously, emotionally. And the Lord took me to some big pylons. And I started to push myself off. And I said, no, I can't do that. That's it. And I grabbed them and held on, and they pulled me out in the morning, and then they wanted to cut my feet off. you know, they didn't do that anyhow. But you see how down a person can get? Can you imagine that? I failed the Lord. Miserably. A Christian can get down. And when a Christian gets down, a Christian sins mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Why? Because he turns from God. He doesn't know that rest. He isn't feeding in the wells of quietness. And so we need forgiveness. And thank God for the first epistle of John. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just. He's justified in forgiving our sins because of Calvary. They're taken care of. But we need forgiveness. And we have that. And we can have that fellowship restored. And that blessing restored. And the joy of the Lord restored. Because the Lord forgives. Because he paid for that forgiveness. Oh, what a gracious God. Isn't he wonderful? He is wonderful. And then we have guidance. For he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. How can he lead us in the paths of righteousness? Because he's righteous. He goes before us. We're in Christ. And he's the only one that can lead us in paths of righteousness. But again, we must be resting. We must be drinking from the wells of quietness and provision. Then we must be confessing our sins. And when we do that, then we can walk in his righteousness, because we're resting in him. We're walking with him. And we're enjoying that precious, precious fellowship with himself. So he gives us guidance. He guides us by his eye. We could spend all night on this. He guides us with his word. He guides us with the Spirit of God. And he'll guide us with other believers. He'll use other believers to guide us and help us and to instruct us and to give us wise counsel. Oh, we need one another, beloved. Oh, thank God for his righteousness. And we're clothed in the garments of salvation. But he leads us as we follow him. Remember, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. When we follow him, we walk in the paths of righteousness. For his name's sake. And then we have companionship, for thou art with me. Is there a better companion than the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, our mates will fail us sometimes. We'll fail them. Everyone fails us, but he never fails, does he? What a companion. He has given us that promise, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, the companionship of the Lord Jesus. I suppose people think I'm going off my mind sometimes. They see me going down the highway. And here I am speaking with the Lord. God of me. I've learned by his grace to take all my needs and problems to him. And when I leave one place and I go to another place, I try to commit all the problems that I've been involve us in the last few minutes to the Lord Jesus, and I look forward to what's ahead of me in his strength, his guidance. And he'll guide us, beloved, in everything. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. But you see, that's walking in paths of righteousness, not in the paths that suit us. And so he gives us companionship. Oh, the blessed companionship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us comfort. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In reading, I found that a shepherd can take his rod, which is about the size of a baseball, and built similarly. And that shepherd could take that rod and throw it all the way across the backs of the sheep and hit a wolf or a lion on the other side. And if it didn't kill him, it would hurt him bad enough that he would turn away and leave. So the Lord uses that rod for our protection to preserve us from our adversary. But sometimes he has to use that rod on us, not to kill us, but to correct us. The Father chastises the Son whom he loves. It's a indication of the love of God. That he takes time with all these worlds he's created, with all the rest of our brothers and sisters, he takes time to look at me. And he takes time because he loves me to correct me in his grace and to correct you. Isn't that a wonderful shepherd? A shepherd knows his sheep. The Lord says, I know my sheep. And they call him. I call them by name. And as we read and research, we find that every good shepherd has a name for every single sheep. And he can tell each one from the other. You and I look at those sheep and they all look like a bunch of balls of wool. But not to that shepherd. He knows certain marks and certain personality traits of those sheep. And he names them accordingly. And he can pick them up and name them. And he doesn't leave them. And he comforts them with his rod. It's comfort to the sheep to know that when they're lying down in that grass, that that wolf, that bear, or whatever animal it is not going to harm them because the shepherd's present. And beloved, nothing is going to harm us when the shepherd is there. Never. The thing we have to realize is that the Lord Jesus is never taken by surprise. It's amazing. He's never taken by surprise. We're taken by surprise all the time, but he isn't. He is never caught napping. And he's with us. We have his companionship. We walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, the fear of God. And then we know the correction of the rod because he loves us. But he also has the staff. And he can reach down into inaccessible places. They may be inaccessible to all the world, to every other human being, but they're not inaccessible to him. And he reaches down and he brings us up. And as we were reminded, he puts us on his shoulder. Not shoulder, but shoulder. He puts him on his shoulder. And he carries him. He holds the lamb in his bosom. The place of affection. The place of love. The place of honor. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, what a shepherd we have. As we travel through this life, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. But beloved, we're in a battle. And we're going home to our heavenly home, but in between is the valley of the shadow of death. And we're treading through it right now. We're not treading through it when we get to the cemetery. Because you know why? We won't be there. Our body will be there. Our tent will be there. And we'll already be in heaven. So it isn't speaking of the grave, it isn't speaking of the cemetery, it's speaking of now. Praise the Lord, and he's with us. And we have his companionship, and his protection, his comfort. Food, for thou preparest a table before me. Does he not prepare a table before us? Boy, we've enjoyed the table of the Lord so much. Mephibosheth sat at the king's table, and everything that was King David's was his. And we sit at the king's table, beloved. And we enjoy every good thing. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. And is there anything that's not good for us that he hasn't given us? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow returning, no variableness. It's not one way one day and one day the next. He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And he provides everything that's good for us. And he keeps those things back from us that are bad for us. Even when we're stupid like sheep and we want to go through the fence and we want to go after that poison grass, he keeps us from it. He uses his staff and his rod. Dr. Ironside tells of going to see a Scotch shepherd. And he saw this sheep that was a beautiful animal. But he noticed one thing. He had a crooked leg. And he couldn't hardly walk. And Dr. Ironside said to the shepherd, he said, well, why do you leave an animal like that? Why don't you shoot him? Why don't you kill him? And the shepherd said, yeah, but look at his coat. That sheep produces the best wool of all the sheep I've got. It's a good sheep. The reason it has a broken leg is because I broke it. You what? I broke it. Well, why did you break it? Because it was a wayward sheep. And it wouldn't stay no matter what I did. It would not stay with the sheep. I would continually have to leave my other sheep and go after that sheep to bring it back. So in love, I broke the leg. And now it can't go anymore. You see, sometimes the Lord has to break our leg. I don't mean physically. He may have to do that physically too. But in his love and grace, he uses his rod and in kindness and grace to keep us where the best place is for us, although we don't think so. And how many times, beloved, have you and I even prayed for something and yearned for it and just thought we just couldn't live without it? But when the fullness of the time came and it came around full circle and we saw God's hand, we realized that if we had got what we wanted so bad, even though it looked so right, it would have been all wrong. And in his love and grace, he kept it from us. And he might have had to break a leg to keep us from going after it. Oh, what a gracious God we have. And he comforts us. He prepares food for us at his table. Good food. Food that is needful for growth. In every way. Physically, spiritually, temporally. Emotionally, everything. Everything. He provides at his table. There is no good thing that's wanting at the Lord's table, and I don't mean that table there. That's the table that a man built. That's not the Lord's table. He sets the emblems upon it, but it's not the Lord's table. The Lord's table is a place of fellowship. We're enjoying the Lord's table together now. In all its fullness. The fellowship. The blessing. The provisions of every kind. What a table to be at. He provides our food in every need. And that's what David said. Here is a king who sat a table that would be the envy of the nation. And yet David says, the Lord prepares a table. He prepares my food. You know what? He not only prepares a table, and supplies all our food in every way. But he gives us victory. Because the next one is victory. In the presence of my enemy. Who's our greatest enemy? The old devil. The one who would take our soul. He can't touch that, beloved, so he'll do everything he can to ruin our testimony, to wreck our joy, to take us away from enjoying the thing at the table of the Lord. In the presence of my enemy. That's victory. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. And the last enemy is death. And when we go to the grave of a dear brother or sister in Christ, we go to a victory. It's not a defeat. Because the Satan has lost total touch with that dear saint of God forever. He'll never touch them again in any way, shape, or form because they've gone to be with the Christ of God, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not a defeat. It is victory in the fullest sense of the word. And he does that in the presence of our enemy. The enemy of our soul. And the enemy of our soul. For me to live is Christ, Paul said, to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is very far better. Life's patterns as we have them in Philippians. Can't go into that. So he gives us victory. He gives us joy. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, what does that tell us of? Thou anointest my head with oil. Well, we have to, and time is going like crazy here. My brother told me to take all the time I wanted, but I don't want to do that anyway. Overrunning with joy. My cup runneth over. Anointing. Where does anointing come in? We go to the priest, the tabernacle. Aaron, the high priest, was anointed with oil, and it ran down over his hair. He was set apart. We're anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, why are we anointed with the Holy Spirit of God? Why was a priest anointed? He was sanctified. He was set apart. And Aaron's sons, they were set apart. And they were anointed. Because Aaron was going to go, and those priests were going to go into the holies. And then Aaron himself as a high priest was going into the Holy of Holies, into that holy sanctuary, past that veil. Stop and think, there were no lights in there. The only light in that room was the light of the glory of God. Was there any wonder that Aaron was absolutely filled with fear? Stop and think, beloved. Here is a room, no windows. The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the cherubim, all gold. And Aaron goes in there with the blood and he sprinkles it 7 times on and around the mercy seat. And he's in the presence of the Shekinah glory. He's in the presence of Holy God. Lord, we have fear. When we get before the Lord in prayer, we need to experience that. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we need to experience that. Not fear of retribution, but fear of the holiness of our God. And beloved, as priests, we go over to Peter, and what do we find? The first thing we find is we're holy priests. And as holy priests, we go in for worship. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. If we're to minister before the Lord, to serve before the Lord. The priesthood of the believer. The Word of God teaches, and I have to go this very rapidly, that every single one, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are priests. And we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. We've been sealed unto the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit of God. And we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Why? That we might minister before Him. Does that take hold of our hearts as we consider that to minister before God, we can only do so as the Spirit of God ministers through us? What did Paul say? In me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. So whatever is going to be pleasing to God must be by God Himself, the Holy Spirit of God, operating in your life and mine. As we come before Him, either individually, in worship, and there should be individual worship, there should be occupation with the person of Christ, or collectively. We have to come into His presence, as our brother Frank Haggerty of Bolivia says, we have to be in and out Christian, into His presence first, to know Him in all His glory, in all His worth, in all His holiness, in all His person, to know His righteousness. Then we can go out as royal priests, in service to others. Oh, the priesthood of the believer. It's not for someone to be dubbed the reverend, right, wrong, or indifferent so-and-so and do all the priestly work. Beloved, it's for you and for me. God's Word teaches that. We are to come before Him as holy priests with pure hands. And we do that as we come together. And I hope, beloved, as we gather in the Lord permitting on the morrow around the Lord at the Lord's Supper, that we as brethren, our hearts will be moved and stirred by the Holy Spirit of God to audibly offer up prayer, the praise, and the sacrifice that is our privilege and our responsibility. What a privilege. What a privilege to be priests of God. Not to have another. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ, Jesus. He's already in glory. I've got a mediator up there. Now he says, come into my presence. Remember me in my death. Worship me. And worship the Father. What is the Father pleased with? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Does anything else please him? No. The Son is what pleases him. We're in the Son. We're to bring the Son and offer him up. As the priest waved that golden censer and those coals, those hot fires of coal, off the altar of incense. And that sweet fragrance that was made according to the pattern given to Moses in the Mount. It was mixed. And it extended to God as a sweet smelling savor. And we come together and we lift the Lord Jesus up in all his fullness and all his work, in all his personal beauty. For he's altogether lovely. And God is well pleased. Imagine that. We can please him and bless him and glorify him by bringing his son at priest. And then the sisters come just as responsible. Just as responsible. But they do it inaudibly. And that prayer goes up. And believe me, dear sisters, we all know that the sisters coming into a prayer meeting, into the Lord's Supper, can change the whole attitude and atmosphere of that meeting. And many times have. Oh, we need to be priests unto God. He anointed my head with oil. You remember what the Lord said to Simon? Simon, I came in and you didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't wash my feet. But this woman has not ceased to anoint my feet and wash them with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head. Oh, he anoints us with that oil. The oil of gladness, the oil that soothes, the oil that is pleasant to the nostril. That's another thing. Everywhere, we've heard it again and again, but we need to be reminded, everywhere that Mary went, she had the same odor as the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we were anointed with that oil, we should have the same fragrance in our personal life as the Lord Jesus Christ. Men should look at us, and men and women should look at us, and they should say, we take knowledge that they've been with Jesus. Because they have the same odor, same fragrance in their life. The righteousness of Christ is seen. We need to show that to one another, beloved. And everything in time, he gives us everything in time. After all that here, for goodness and mercy shall follow me. All these mercies. Goodness and mercy. Loving kindness. Oh, his loving kindness, oh, how great. And he pours it out on us. Because he's a good shepherd. And a great shepherd. Everything in eternity, and I'm hurrying, for I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the days of days of days of days. That's the end of the race, beloved. With him. To see him as he is. And to know him. In all his beauty. In all his glory. In all the wonder and blessedness of his holy heart. I'm really not too concerned about seeing Peter. He'll have to wait. Or Paul. The Lord's going to occupy our vision. He's going to occupy our mind. Because he'll be occupying there. He's the one whom they wrote. And whom he served. All the days of our life, beloved. And he's given us our schooling days now, our preparation days. So tomorrow, the Lord willing, we'll look a little bit further, maybe at the names of Jehovah in this wonderful passage of God's Word.